I bet you thought those were real turkeys calling. Larry Mueller here. Thanks for joining us today on the Ideas Network. Sure sounded like real turkeys to me. We're going to be talking about turkeys today with our couple of guests, Dan Small with us. He's been host and producer of Milwaukee Public Television's Outdoor Wisconsin since it premiered in 1984. He also hosts and produces a weekly radio show called Outdoors Radio with Dan Small. I've heard that. It's always a lot of fun. And we'll be talking with him about turkeys. Jeff Frederick joins us as well, a gobbler geek. He'll be talking less here for a little while, but he just gobbled for us. The guy sounds better than a – no, he sounds just like a turkey, doesn't he, Dan Small?
Well, yeah, he certainly does, Larry. And, you know, Jeff and I – we're longtime exhibitors at the Wisconsin Deer and Turkey Expo, which this year became a bigger sports show. Yeah. And my booth is right across from his, and I don't have to go listen to live turkeys because he's cutting and yelping and clucking and purring and gobbling all day long for 3 days. And so I've got the sounds of turkeys in my head when I'm ready to hunt turkeys. And, yeah, he sounds like a real bird and better than some live birds I've heard.
Well, I tell you what, as you listen in to these two guys talk, I hope you'll join in. What questions do you have about turkeys? What are your thoughts on the turkey population? Give a call. I want to know what you've got in mind for the turkey season, perhaps as well. 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at ideas@wpr.org. Really love to hear from you. And Dan, this is somewhat of a new thing for you. You as far as turkeys go, you've been doing the deer special every year for a long time.
That's right. We produce the Deer Hunt Wisconsin show for about 25 or 26 years.
Yeah.
And 2 years ago, Mark LaBarbera and I put together a show we called Wild Turkeys in Wisconsin, and that aired on public TV stations throughout the state. And we decided to do another one this year, and that's going to air starting tomorrow night on Milwaukee Public Television, then on the weekend on both Milwaukee and the Wisconsin Digital station, the .2 station.
Well, I've been fortunate enough to see it already. I watched it online, and I was really impressed with the scope of the project, and it was a lot of work to put something like that together.
It certainly does, and we work with Dave Roll, who's a videographer from the Eau Claire region. He used to produce Dave Carlson's show. Mm-hmm. He shot it and edited it, and we've worked with him now for the past several years, and not only is he a great videographer and a good editor, but he also is a turkey hunter, so he knows what we need to see and to show on, to portray on the show. And in fact, the first scene that opens the show is a very exciting real action hunt with Lauren Majera, who is a Wisconsin native, but she is a sports anchor for WGN in Chicago, and she came back to hunt turkeys with Dave, and he captured everything. You can hear her heart beating and the excitement when she has a shot. I won't say too much more than that, but it captures the real flavor of the hunt. And that's how we start the show.
Yeah, it's the whole show is very creative. What's the process like for you in putting something like this together?
Well, Mark LaBarbera is the executive producer, and his nonprofit, the Outdoor Heritage Education Center, essentially kind of was the umbrella for producing the show. And he got a grant from the DNR R3 program and the Turkey Stamp program. So that's where the funding came from for the show. So first of all, you got to secure funding.
Mm-hmm.
And then he worked with a number of people, including folks in DNR, Mark Witeka and others, and some folks from the National Wild Turkey Federation, to come up with kind of a storyboard, the topics we wanted to cover. And this year we wanted to focus on mentoring and recruitment of hunters. And so there are several interviews with people who have been mentors for a long time, and there's a conversation with John Motovilov, who used to work for DNR, but now he's with the National Wild Turkey Federation. He is the what they call the R3 coordinator, which is recruitment, mm-hmm. retention, and reactivation. And that program focuses on adult hunters or adult folks who want to be hunters. A lot of them are foodies. A lot of them are folks who just didn't have the hunting background that you and I and Jeff and others have had. They want to hunt, but they don't know how to get started. And so we show some scenes from some of those hunts and talk to people who've been involved in that. So really, it's a very long involved process, and we knew we wanted to have some calling and hunting tips on there. So Jeff is very prominently featured on the show. And in fact, we shot most of the intros to the show, if not all of them, I think, in his basement, in his workshop, his man cave, so to speak, because it's just full of turkey fans and turkey mounts and those fabulous turkey decoys that he makes. So,
yeah, they're unbelievable decoys.
They are.
You know, you were talking about recruitment, and one of the things that I found really interesting in the in your video, had to do with getting young people involved, and you know there have been some successes and not as much as they would have liked, perhaps. And so, some of the folks have been looking at instead of just trying to convince a youngster to make it a family kind of affair.
Yes, and it wasn't my idea. I guess the folks who've been trying to recruit new hunters for a number of years have realized that if you take a youngster who doesn't have a support family or some kind of support framework to take him hunting again, if you take him or her hunting once, it may be a one-and-done deal. Whereas if you take the mother or both parents or an extended family, or an adult who might have kids coming up and who might want to hunt eventually, that it's more likely that those adults will continue the activity and bring those kids along and provide the support group that, a lone kid who doesn't have a car, doesn't have any money, doesn't have a shotgun, doesn't know where to go, really doesn't have there.
Well, we have lots of callers online already. Let's take a few calls here. Ed in southwestern Wisconsin, we'll go to you first. Thanks for calling, Ed. What's on your mind?
Good morning. I'm driving through a nice April Wisconsin blizzard right now. It's just beautiful. But I grew up in the woods of Adams County, and I'm lucky enough to still spend a lot of time in the woods, and I'm old enough to remember when there were no turkeys. And so it always still seems a little strange to me to see turkeys in the woods. But I've gotten to spend a huge amount of time watching them socially, and they're just really interesting animals socially. But my real question is, it's probably been 20 years since I've heard a grouse in the woods beating its wings. And I wondered if the introduction of turkeys has had anything to do with the grouse population kind of going away in that area.
Yeah. Ed, thanks a lot for calling. Dan, what do you think?
I am not a biologist, but I have talked to a lot of biologists, and the short answer is no. The longer answer is habitat is really what determines what species you'll find on the landscape, and the young regrowth of forest and brushy habitat that was more prevalent a generation ago and favored grouse is going by, and we have mature trees now, and mature forests are more supportive of turkeys, and that's kind of what happened. Scott Walter, who's now the wolf biologist or the large carnivore specialist for the state, when he was at UW-Richland Center, he actually studied grouse in southwest Wisconsin. He put radios on a lot of hen grouse, and he found that they were caught by predators when they were trying to go from one brushy habitat section to another, crossing open pasture or open farm fields, to find the males who were drumming, and the hawks and owls, well, mostly hawks, red tails, picked them off. And it's more than, there's more to it than that, but habitat really is the answer.
Yeah. Ed, there you go. Thank you so much for calling. Appreciate your call. Well, let's turn to Paul in Tomahawk next. Hi, Paul.
Hey. Good morning.
Morning.
I'm just wondering if the range of turkeys is expanded because of reintroduction, or is it just a matter of global warming? Like I said, Rick and Oscar, we had no turkeys there that I remember. And now I'm up here in Tomahawk, and they're all over. So I wonder if you could illuminate me on that issue.
Yeah. So I think Paul was coming in and out of the conversation, but I think he was asking whether or not global warming had was the big helper of turkeys coming into the state.
Well,
thriving.
In northern Wisconsin, he's talking about Tomahawk. Yeah. Actually, I'm hunting up in Bayfield County at the end of May, the last season, because my son, who lives in New York City, can only get so many days of vacation, and so we're hunting during Memorial Weekend, the last mm-hmm. period. We saw more turkeys in Bayfield County last deer season than we saw deer. So we're taking a chance that those birds survive the winter. I think the short answer, Paul, is that it's not really a short answer. The DNR trapped and relocated turkeys throughout the state. So they got a jump start up in northern Wisconsin where they were not native historically. And because we've had relatively mild winters, with a few exceptions, including this past one, they have thrived. They've done well. So they were reintroduced in an area where they weren't native, but there was habitat there. The pine forests that were cut would not have been very supportive of turkeys, but the second growth, oak and maple and other trees are supportive of turkeys, especially the oaks with the acorns.
Yeah.
So, again, there's habitat there, and mild winters have allowed turkeys to do well in northern Wisconsin. And you see a lot of them on the roads because there isn't a lot of open land. They come out and they pick up gravel. That's where I see them out there.
Yeah. And in your video, there you have someone from DNR, I believe, explaining, which I thought was interesting too, a kind of reviewing the history of turkey introduction and the fact that we now, and they did not think there were going to be turkeys in northern Wisconsin.
Well, that's true. They didn't know how far north they would actually spread and how well they would do. But I believe as they planted them in the southwest first, down in Vernon and La Crosse counties, and as they trapped and relocated them from the southwest, spreading north and east, they kept doing well, so they kept going. And they thought, well, let's keep putting them up north and see what happens.
And now they're in every county of the state.
Every county, yep.
It's kind of interesting to me. I kind of chuckled a little bit this morning because we have a neighborhood online thing, and somebody posted a photo this morning of a turkey in the backyard in central Wisconsin.
Sure.
So, or in central Madison. So, and that brings me to John in Green Bay, who has a question relating to that, or maybe a comment. Hi, John.
Hi. Hello. I want to talk about the other side of the coin. I'm happy for the success of the reintroduction of the turkey in the state of Wisconsin for all my hunting friends. But I live in an urban area, and urban turkeys have been a real pain. I'm in the southwest side of the city of Green Bay, and we've had as many as 50 turkeys walking down our street. We've got a problem with them pooping in our driveways. They scratch freshly planted lawns. They land on our rooftops, and they root around in our gardens. Worst of all, the turkeys have attacked people. My spouse was walking to the health club on the bicycle trail last year, and two turkeys jumped on her back and kept, you know, clawing at her. Several cars stopped, and finally she accepted a ride from somebody to get away from them. We also had a couple of news anchors on Channel 2 in Green Bay who thought it was absolutely hysterical that a little kid in a backpack was running down the street while a turkey was chasing the boy. So I wish that people here would stop feeding them, and I'd actually be in favor of an urban hunting season for them with archery.
Yeah. Lots of interesting comments there, and a lot of that, as you, I think, is pointed out in your video, a lot of that sort of attacking somebody or that sort of thing happens in the spring of the year.
Yeah, it does. It's generally the toms, the male turkeys, that are being aggressive, and they see a person or a dog or a car with maybe their reflection or your patio window, your patio door. All of these have attracted turkeys, and they try to show that reflection or that other perceived turkey. Maybe your wife, I don't know, maybe she was wearing turkey-colored clothes or something. But they try to chase that off, and they want to be the dominant bird. But I think you hit on the key there. People feeding wildlife in urban areas, you're going to attract wildlife in urban areas, especially in a winter like the one we've just had.
Bird feeders, you know, are a perfect example. I had a friend who quit feeding the birds for a while because the turkeys were all over the place, and then they finally went somewhere else.
And an archery season, I'd be all for that if it were controlled in, say, parks or natural areas in a city. I think you should talk to. He was in
Green Bay,
right. Yeah, I think you should talk. Well, you have a new mayor there in Green Bay. Maybe talk to the mayor and the city council and get the DNR involved and see what they can do.
Yep, you'd have to get the DNR involved in it, but I don't see why something like that couldn't happen. No reason why it couldn't. John, thank you very much for calling. Appreciate your call. Talking today with Dan Small. Dan's got his latest and new turkey video out that's going to be playing, and he'll remind you of when that when they will be on public television in just a minute. And Jeff Frederick will be joining us too. Jeff, the Gobbler Geek, who is part of in the video that Dan has produced. And talking turkeys with them. And if you have a question or comment, I hope you'll join in. The number is 1-800-642-1234. Email us at ideas@wpr.org. I'm Larry Mueller. Jill Nadeau, our producer. Dave Potratz, our engineer, here on the Ideas Network. Talking right now with Dan Small, host producer of the public television show Outdoor Wisconsin. He has Outdoors Radio with Dan Small on many stations, and he's a contributing editor to Wisconsin Outdoor News. Jeff Frederick is with us in the studio. He'll be chiming in here pretty quickly. He is the Gobbler Geek. The guy is a champion turkey caller and makes calls, and he makes some unbelievable decoys as well. And we'll be talking with him about all of that as we move along, too. We have callers online, though. Let's go to Vivian in Green Bay next. Hi, Vivian. Thank you for calling.
Well, thank you, gentlemen. It's a pleasure to hear you. 25, 30 years ago, town of Amberg, Marinette County on the Menominee River, they were feeding turkeys. Someone said it was the Isaac Walton League.
Ah.
Usually driving by. And, of course, it was stopped after a while because, I guess, disease spread at the feeders. But I'm wondering if those birds were planted or could those have come across the river from Michigan?
Yeah, Dan?
Probably both, depending on when you saw them. There were turkeys in the UP of Michigan across the river there before we planted turkeys in that part of the state. And then turkeys were reintroduced throughout the state, and they got up into Marinette County. And what you have there now is probably a mix of some of those Michigan birds and some of the Wisconsin birds. The Michigan birds, as I recall, if I recall correctly, had some game farm blood in them, so they were not as wild as the Wisconsin birds, which are all either produced here in Wisconsin or, well, they are now, of course, but they originally came from Missouri.
Yeah.
And those
wild turkeys.
They were wild turkeys from Missouri, yeah.
Yeah, we tried it many years earlier. We tried a different approach, and it
yep.
didn't work.
Yep.
Yeah. So there you go, Vivian. Thanks for calling. And Kevin in Appleton, your turn. Hi, Kevin.
Hey, good morning, guys. I'm just passing through here. I love the show, Larry. You're the reason I listen to public radio, and I found a lot of other shows because of you. But whatever you're getting paid, you deserve more, so I want to throw that out at you.
Thank you.
And also, I want to say I'm a longtime, decades-long fan of Dan Small. I just, in a world, you know, that just screams, look at me, you know, TV hosts on cable, Dan's always seemed to be the kind of guy to me that says, hey, look at what God created. Get out, whether you hunt, fish, or just like to view wildlife, get out and see it and enjoy it. And that's really refreshing. And I just, Dan, I want to thank you for all you've done to promote, you know, this healthy outdoor lifestyle through the years.
Oh, yeah. Thank you, Kevin. I'm not paid enough either, Larry. So no, it's great to hear that. Appreciate that very much.
Yeah, that's really nice. And you've been doing, you know, just think about how many years have you been doing TV and radio?
35 for television and only 14 now for radio, but it seems like a long time.
It seems longer. I've got about 52 in for
yeah, you got me beat by a long shot.
When it comes to radio, oh my goodness me. Well, Kevin, thanks a lot for the nice words. Norm in Ashwaubenon, we'll go to you next. Hi, Norm.
Yeah, I love your show, Larry, and it's great to hear Dan Small. I just had some wild goose, and I made a plum sauce from your cookbook that I picked up, oh, I bet 25 years ago at a show in Milwaukee, and always love it. But I'm responding to the caller from Green Bay that talked about all the turkeys. I actually live in Ashwaubenon, which is right directly abutting Green Bay. We have a ton of turkeys, but Ashwaubenon has a turkey season for Metro Green Bay. So you can use a crossbow. And I was out there last year, and we see tons of turkey, you know, during the year. But during the hunting season, they seem to wise up and are less evident. But it's fun to be out there hunting and right in your backyard.
Well, thanks, Norm, for calling. Comment, Dan?
I didn't know that, but good for them.
Yeah, it's so it can be, it's obviously, it can be done, and
sure.
it sounds like it's done and working well. You can join in, too, by the way, with your questions or comments. Number to call, 1-800-642-1234, or email us at ideas@WPR.org. Hey, if you've got a good turkey photo, we'd love to see those as well, and you could post those at ideas@WPR.org. Love to see those photos and questions as well. Jim in Loganville, we'll go to you next. Hi, Jim.
Good morning, guys. I really love your show, and I just wanted to make a comment. I don't think there's too many turkeys or too many deer or too many geese. I think there's too many people. We can't manage our own population. That's all I got to say.
There you go. How many turkeys do we have in the state right now? There's an estimate, obviously. Nobody runs around and counts them all. I think from your video, you said they're harvested usually about 40,000.
Right. We have had as many as 50,000 killed in Wisconsin. And in the last decade or so, I think we've been the right in the top five among states. And the harvest has been right around 40,000 the last few years. I don't think they actually estimate, but there's got to be a couple hundred thousand turkeys.
There would have. They have to. they have a goal every year. They are a maximum number, I think, the DNR sort of has in mind.
Well, they have a goal for permits. I mean,
for permits. Yeah, that's what I meant. Yeah. Yeah. So the permit goal is usually, I think, around 10,000. The success rate is pretty darn high.
The success rate is between 20 and 30%, depending on the season and the zone. But there are a couple hundred thousand permits issued because not everybody's going to get a bird. In fact, there are leftover permits still available.
And you talk about that in your video
as
well as to how to get those leftover permits, because there's a lot of opportunity.
Right. Most of the zones are sold out through the first four seasons. Zone 1 and Zone 2 and Zone 3 still have permits available for at least the last two and I think also the last three seasons. And you can buy those over the counter one a day until they're gone. So I have a friend who's probably listening to this, Lauren Voss. Folks call him the Wisconsin Turkey Commander. He kills half a dozen to 10 birds a year, and he buys permits to hunt different zones and different times. Jeff and I are crazy about it, but he's really crazy. He's retired, and that's all he does, sits in the blind. Actually, I'm hunting with him on Saturday. We're doing a TV hunt with a youth hunter.
That is great. And I know, typically the early times are the most popular times, because that's when the gobblers are maybe most active.
Yeah, they're more active, and there are more birds, and they're more naive. Nobody's hunted them yet.
Yeah.
But I like the later seasons because the weather's warmer and hens are nesting and there are fewer hunters.
And there's gobblers out there still looking.
Looking for girlfriends. Yeah, absolutely.
Looking for girlfriends. Yeah, my brother Dennis shot on, I think it was the last or second to the last time, really, that a really nice gobbler that showed up to his call, and I think the hunt that day lasted somewhere in the neighborhood of 10 minutes.
That's the best kind. I actually had a hunt like that this past weekend. I was doing a learn to hunt in Vernon County. We were based at the Westby Rod and Gun Club in Timber Cooley. Mm-hmm. And John Motoviloff, who's on the show, coordinated that. This was a Wild Turkey Federation Learn to Hunt program. And my hunter, Josh Estep, who's in his 30s, had never hunted turkeys, doesn't own a shotgun. We had a class the Friday night. Saturday we hunted. And he and I hunted from a blind in the morning, and then we walked and did the walking and calling that I like to do. He had a pedometer on his phone. We walked 6 miles. And at the end of the day, we encountered two toms and two hens that walked around us into the woods at about 7:15. But we knew where they would be in the morning, and we got set up in the morning, and they were gobbling, a couple of yelps. They came down, and in 15 minutes, he had a bird, and a beautiful 21-pound tom. And I'll send you that photo. If I'd thought of it, I would have posted it here, but I didn't think of it ahead of time.
Jill in Rhinelander will give you a chance now. Hi, Jill.
Hi, let me get this off speaker here.
Okay.
Okay, we had a hen turkey come in yesterday with a whole bunch of turkeys. And she had a lot of the white, light gray feathers, and they were almost stripy-looking, really beautiful bird. And my husband said it's a kind of a rare color variation. And I was wondering how rare this was, if I should mark it on the calendar.
You know, I have seen one white bird in my hunting career, but Jeff probably knows more about this than I do.
Let's get Jeff Frederick involved, the gobbler geek, at the microphones now. And Jeff, what about it?
Well, my dad's a taxidermist, so as a turkey hunter and being a taxidermist kid, I am always looking for the strange and cool. That is a very rare bird. It is a wild turkey. I personally don't believe that there's any tame turkeys you know, interbreeding with the wild ones. It is a, from what I've studied, a recessive gene that can show up, especially what I've found in the newer flocks, because I don't think they have quite as much genetic diversity when a flock has just been reintroduced to an area. And take pictures and appreciate what you see, because I personally would love to see one of those. We call them smoky gray phase turkeys.
Huh. Jill, does that help?
Yeah, and it was beautiful. I mean, it was a very pretty bird, very, very striking, and it was pretty close. Because I have kitchen TV. I look out the window when I'm doing stuff at the sink.
Kitchen TV, that's great.
So you, Jill, you need to have your phone or your camera ready to get it.
Don't have a smartphone and don't have a digital camera.
Oh, well, you got to get one.
Yeah, right.
Or just enjoy it while it's happening.
Or enjoy it while it's there. That's probably the best thing. Sometimes I think we spend too much time taking pictures when I think about that and other aspects. Watching my daughter play soccer or something, I'm trying to get pictures in. And afterwards, I think, why don't you just set the darn thing, phone down or camera down, and just watch.
Enjoy the game. Yeah.
Enjoy the game, or in Jill's case, just enjoy what's right out her front window or kitchen window. Thank you so much for that call. Well, we are talking today with a couple of guests. Jeff Frederick just joined us, the Gobbler Gig. We'll learn some more about him. Dan Small with us as well, host and producer of the public television show Outdoor Wisconsin. He does outdoors radio with Dan Small, contributing editor to Wisconsin Outdoor News. Dan, you've got a website, too, that we should let people know about.
Well, as far as the turkey show is concerned, we are maintaining a couple of sites, the Wild Turkeys in Wisconsin Facebook page. And we also have a YouTube channel. So if folks miss the show tomorrow night or Saturday because you're out doing something, you can watch the show that will be on public television and some other segments as well on the YouTube channel.
Yeah.
And so just go to YouTube and type in Wild Turkeys in Wisconsin, and you should see, I think it's called The Full Show or something like that.
Yeah. And Outdoors Radio with Dan Small, they can also find out where to listen and so forth on that as well.
Yeah, Outdoors Radio is posted on LakeLink, which is lake-link.com, and then you can just type in radio or DSO radio. So lake-link.com/radio will get you there. And the show airs on 16 commercial stations throughout the state, most of them on Saturday, but some on at other times.
Well, the first time I heard Jeff Frederick's voice, I was listening to you interviewing him.
Is that right? And you said, I got to get that guy on my show, right? Well, I've done the same to you. So.
Oh, man. Dan Small, Jeff Frederick, our guests. We're talking turkey with them today. And I hope if you've got some experiences or questions about turkeys and turkey hunting, I hope you'll join in. The number to call is 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or email us at ideas@wpr.org. I'm Larry Mueller. You are listening to the Ideas Network.